place and in every home, everyone who's watching, may this be a time where the name of Jesus is high and lifted up, and may you impact our hearts. Stir us, oh God, as we praise you. It's all about you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust in, how I prove in, Lord and Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Kids, are you ready for the children's sermon? Come on down.
Everyone, what a week we have all had, huh? Oh, it's good to see you. Did you know that in about 40 days it's going to be Easter? What did we celebrate at Easter? Does anyone remember? We celebrate Jesus raising from the dead. And right now, these 40 days before Easter, we're in a season called Lent. And during Lent, what we do, it is a time to pray and really think and draw closer to Jesus. And then the question is, how do I do that, Teresa? How do I do that during this season of Lent? So first, I want you to imagine with me. We are going to go to the park. So first of all, with me, we're going to walk. We're walking, walking, walking. We're walking to the park. We're walking. Oh, we see the park. There it is. Across the road. Do we zoom across the road?
Yes.
No. No. First, what we do is we get squished. We need to stop. Put your hands out. We're going to stop before we cross the road. All right. After we stop, put your hands up here. We're going to look both ways. Look in one way, then the other. And we're also, put your hand by your ear because we're going to listen too. We're going to look and listen. And what we're doing while we're looking and listening is we're making sure there's no vehicles coming or anything else that can harm us before we cross the road to get to the park. That's kind of what we do during Lent. Let me explain. What we do is we're going through our lives and all of a sudden we need to stop. We need to stop. That means no more playing. You don't have the TV on. You're not even reading a book. You are stopping. After you've stopped, then you need to look. But what you're looking at is you're going to look inside your own heart. And you're going to ask some difficult questions. You're going to ask questions like, am I doing everything God wants me to do? And you're asking questions like, am I being everything God wants me to be? So as you're thinking about that, then you're also listening. Do you know who you're listening for while you're quiet? You're listening for God, and so you're reading your Bible, and you're praying, and you're asking those questions about yourself. Am I doing what God would have me do? Am I being who God would want me to be? And you ask yourself those questions all 40 days. You really think about it, and you really study your Bible and talk to God, and you come to some decisions together. You might find areas that you could be a little better at. You might find areas that you're pretty good at. And you may, God may tell you some things that he'd like you to do. You don't know what God might tell you to do. But you must stop, look inside your own heart, and listen to God. And that is how we spend our 40 days before Easter in the season that we call Lent. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we ask you to help us during this special time of the year to remember to take time to stop what we are doing, to look into our hearts and ask some hard questions, and listen to you, Lord. In doing this, we will draw closer to you as we wait upon Easter. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Look both ways before you cross the road. That's what I got out of that children's sermon. So, you know, we didn't have our Ash Wednesday service this year, but we can still focus on who Christ is by just committing, personally committing to this Lenten season. There's some good helps out there on the internet. There's actually a devotional there, 40-day Lenten devotional on our app. So let's pursue the Lord during this season. Can we do that? Well, good to see you. Good to see you. I can't see you because you're at home, but it's good to have you with us for those who are at home. And if you want to register your attendance with us, you can go ahead and do that. The adult Sunday school class that meets in the fellowship hall finished up Romans this morning. Is that right? Yes. That's an excitement. It was a good, right? That took a while because we took some weeks off, but that class is going to start Colossians next Sunday, and Eric Beings is going to run with that for a little while, and Kitten may jump in at some point and help teach that class. So adults, if you're looking for a Sunday school experience, you can meet in the fellowship hall at 9:30. Let's go ahead and stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. You know, as we pray this morning, I think we just need to focus on praising God for just the basic essentials of life. I never thought I would have to melt snow just so I could flush my toilet. I never thought I'd have to do that, but I told Carlene that's what the pioneers did years ago, so surely we could do what the pioneers did. But you know, man, we're so blessed to live in a country where we have just the basic heat and water, running water, and we sure take that for granted sometimes, along with a lot of other things. So this morning, I just want to lead you through a prayer time, and go ahead and bow your heads if you don't mind. First of all, let's just thank the Lord for who he is. Thank him for his provision. Thank him for his goodness. Let's go ahead and lift up those who are struggling through this this weather event. Families of those who lost loved ones, those who lost their possessions, those who may feel like they have no hope. Let's just pray into that situation. want you to ask God this question. God, what do you want me to know about you during this season of Lent? And what do you want me to know about myself during this season of Lent? Just ask him that. Father, we love you. God, it's just good to be back together in your house with your people. And Lord, I just thank you for those who are able to join us online this morning. I just thank you for technology that allows us to connect in our homes. And Father, we're just grateful for who you are, Lord. Father, just forgive us for our complaining. My goodness, God, we are so blessed. God, just thank you for the provisions of life, the physical provisions. God, thank you for the spiritual provisions of life that you give to us. And Father, I know there's some during this time that have suffered greatly. Loss of loved ones and loss of possessions and maybe a place to live. And so, Father, I just pray that you supernaturally move through our community, move through this state, move through this nation. Lord, and those that are in despair, God, I just pray that you touch them, radically touch them, and let them know that there's hope in Christ. And Father, as we focus on the cross and headed that direction, Lord, I know that there's things in all of us, Lord God, that God, you're shaping, you're molding, you're conforming us into the image of your Son, and that's a lifelong process. So that tells me that there's some things that need to be conformed in us, where we'll look more like Jesus. Help us to be open to those things. Help us to be open to the love and grace and mercy and conviction of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I have to confess that I think Lent is a Methodist thing coming from a Baptist background, but forgive me for not pursuing you when I have the opportunities to pursue you. And Lord, this is an opportunity for the bride of Christ to be more radiant, be more glorious. Lord, as we focus on you, when we focus on you, that's never a bad thing. So Lord, just move in such a way, God, that we know that we need you more. And Lord, I thank you for these opportunities. And I praise you for them. Oh God, as we continue to congregate, Lord, I pray you protect us, God, from illness. Lord, I just thank you for COVID numbers coming down in our community, in our state. And Lord, we look forward to the day that it's totally eradicated. And God, we're going to give you the glory for that. We just thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. And God, as we continue to worship you, Lord, I pray that every one of us here and in our homes this morning connects with you deeply. As we're saying truths about who you are, the truth that you're a good, good Father. You have good things in store for us. And so, Lord, I pray that the next set of songs is more than just words that fall from our lips. I pray that there's a connection to our heart as well, and that we just get it this morning. And, Lord, as we sit under the Word, God, I just I pray that you give us Holy Spirit ears to hear what the Father has to say to us. Oh, God, we love you so, and thank you again for this time. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom.
We believe.
To be back in church, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, good morning again. A couple of things rolling through my head here as we worship together. I hesitate to say this because I don't want anyone that's any of our live stream to feel any sort of guilt or anything by not being here. But I am so anxious for us to be able to all be back together. You know, I read an article this past week, and it said that pastors should get used to the 60-40 church. I mean, that 60% of people will be in church and 40% will be not be in church. And I totally understand why some people have not felt comfortable coming to church, and I support that. I'm with you. I pray for you. But we are called, ultimately, when this thing eases up a little bit, we're called to be together. The body of Christ. So I cannot wait for that to where everyone feels safe and comfortable to do that. So please don't, if you're at home, please don't feel like I'm rushing you or shaming you or anything like that. That's just kind of on my heart. I'm not going to get used to the 60-40 church. I'm just not. It's not the way God's designed us to be. But I want to welcome everybody, whether you're here in this place or you're at home worshiping with us, I want to welcome you. Glad that you're here. Billy mentioned that you can register through our Wiley Methodist app. Also, during this time where we're trying to be a little more cautious about germs, we've got our offering plates up here on the rail, and then our online giving through our app or our website that you can give. Again, Billy has said it several times, and I've said it several times. I want to thank you for your continued financial faithfulness through this past year. It blows me away how faithful you guys have been, and it allows us to continue to do ministry. All kinds of ministry is still happening, even in the presence of all of this stuff that's going on. And Teresa and her children's sermon mentioned Lent. We're kind of making this stuff up as we go, as far as trying to get wade through this stuff. But Lent started this past Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. We normally have an Ash Wednesday service, but most of us were hunkered down somewhere trying to stay warm. One of the things, and also last Sunday we had to cancel because of the weather, we have these little devotional books that walks us through devotionals, the 40 days of Lent that started, actually the booklet started, the first devotional was for this past Thursday, so you'd be three days to catch up. They're on both exits as you leave today. There's a box of these books. Take as many as you need. If you've got neighbors, we've got plenty. If you've got neighbors that you think would want one, friends, coworkers, whatever, go ahead and take a book. And I encourage you to walk through that. You know, Lent, this would have been part of our Lenten service Wednesday. You know, this season of Lent, it's in preparation for the celebration of Easter. And Lent, really, you boil it down, it comes to a time of repentance, of reflection, repentance, what Teresa was teaching the children this morning. So I encourage you to be in that frame of mind as we are in preparation for the celebration of Easter. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Now, setting this letter up, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who is Timothy's been mentored by Paul. And Paul is actually coming to the end of his life. He's in prison when he writes this letter. And his last charge to Timothy as he continues to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we pick it up in verse 1, chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. Did you know that God judges? Yeah, I mean, in the progressive world of our nation, you ever hear this one from somebody that doesn't like Christianity? Judge not, lest you be judged. You ever heard that one? Well, looks to me like Jesus is going to do some judging. He judges the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. So this is Paul's charge to Timothy, and I believe to us as well. Preach the word, capital W, word. Be prepared in season and out of season. That means no matter what the circumstances, be prepared. Correct. Well, if we're going to correct, that means that some behavior needs correcting. Yes? Rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. There's what Paul says. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Hello, is this on? Anybody? Making sure you're hearing that. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers, not just people, but teachers, to say what their itching ears want to hear. In other words, if you like that sin and a preacher tells you that sin is okay, that's good stuff, right? We like that. Paul's saying it's going to happen. They will turn their ears away from the truth, which, again, means that there must be truth, and turn aside to myths. Paul lays it out. But then he wraps it up to Timothy in verse 5. But you, Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the strong and powerful word, your word. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak to us, to open up your word, to illuminate our hearts with truth. Speak in power and authority. Transform us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to show you a video. It's pretty short. I showed it a few years ago. Y'all, many of you probably saw it then. It is an interview from a man who he used to be a pastor, but basically his church. I mean, he had built this mega church from the ground up, and then his theology started kind of going, and his church ran him off. So now he's an author and a speaker, and he does different things or whatever. But Rob Bell is his name. And he's being interviewed by Oprah, which should give you a clue as to where this interview goes. Now, the main topic that they're talking about is the issue of sexuality, human sexuality, homosexuality. That's what they're talking about. But don't miss it. That's not the point that's being really needs to be driven home to us today. Don't miss it. Pay attention to what's being said here. Go ahead and play that for me, Ben.
Marriage, gay and straight, is a gift to the world because the world needs more, not less. Love, fidelity, commitment, devotion, and sacrifice.
I think it's great that you all made a conscious choice to include gay marriage in here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why?
Because one of the oldest aches in the bones of humanity is loneliness. I mean, it's one of the things that goes way, way back. Loneliness is not good for the world. And so, whoever you are, gay or straight, it is totally normal, natural, and healthy to want somebody to go through life with. It's central to our humanity.
Yeah.
We want someone to go on the journey with.
When is the church going to get that?
We're close, I think.
I think it's evolving. I think mm-hmm.
Lots of people are already there. We think it's inevitable, and we're moments.
A moment away from the church accepting it. Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you meet someone, and most of the time when people have resistance to this, and I say to them...
You think we're moments away.
I think culture is already there, and the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense. When you have in front of you flesh and blood people who are your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and coworkers and neighbors, and they love each other and they just want to go through life with someone.
Well, you sound really progressive to me, because I've talked to pastors who are still saying
I think there are a lot of people who, as they see culture moving, their response is to dig in deeper.
Yeah.
Is to, like,
yeah,
hold their ground,
yeah,
fight against it. So I think that there are both things happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are churches that are moving forward or into that area, and there are churches who are just almost regressing and making it more of a battle.
Did you catch it?
Yeah.
The church, the statement that I'm going to center on, the church will continue to become more and more irrelevant if it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense. What's he talking about? The Bible. He's saying, if this is all you got, you're going to become irrelevant, church. Continuing the sermon series, Let the Church Arise. Today's message is Proclaim the Word. If you think this is an isolated case, that this is an isolated man that's saying this, two days ago I read this. I'm just going to, this is just a couple of highlights. A pastor two Sundays ago, Pastor Josh Scott, I don't know this man. Go ahead, I throw his picture up there. This is Pastor Josh Scott, Grace Point Church in Nashville. It's not like, you know, some wacky place in Nashville. Just it's in the heartland. Preached a message. You can take that off. Thank you. Preached a message discussing the Bible and the question, "What is progressive Christianity?" I want to say this. Anytime you hear something that's got an adjective in front of Christianity, it's bad. Hello. If it's got an adjective in front of Christianity, that's like saying, "I'm a tall Christian. You're out. If you're under 6 feet, you're out." He preached a message discussing the Bible and the question, "What is progressive Christianity?" As, and here's a quote, "As progressive Christians, we're open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. We know that it can't live up to impossible modern standards." See, our standards need to shift to so that we can line up. We strive to be more clearly articulate what Scripture is and isn't. And I'm still quoting, "The Bible," the church said, and it's really the pastor said, I'm sure if you go to church there, you must agree with it, isn't the Word of God. And we have a game show. What do we have for them, Johnny? We got a buzzer over here. The Bible, the church said, isn't the Word of God self-interpreting, a science book? It's not an answer rule book. It's not inerrant or infallible. Rather, it is a product of community, a library of texts. It's, by the way, it's just, they're saying it's just another book in the shelf. We can take it or leave it. Multivocal, a human, some of this stuff, I don't even know what they're talking about. A human response to God. Now listen to this. Here it is. Quote, "It's living and dynamic." What does that mean? It can change. The meaning can change. Woo! Your preacher's gonna get fired up, I think. Jesus says 79 times, I counted it, 79 times, just in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels, 79 times Jesus is quoted as saying, "I tell you the truth." What does that mean? That means that there's something beside the truth. But Jesus says, "I'm going to tell you the truth." 79 times. In the New Testament, the full New Testament, "It is written" is used 62 times. What are they talking about? It's written. That's what they're talking about. Jesus, as he's doing battle with Satan. How does he do battle with Satan? He quotes the scripture. "It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." It's written. Guess who else says it's written? Satan. Satan even quotes from the Bible. But the problem is with Satan, he perverts God's word. He tries to mold it and shape it and twist it. You go all the way back to the garden. God told Adam and Eve, "Don't do this." They did it. When Satan comes in and he's tempting them to do it, he says, "God, did God really say that? God didn't really say that." He begins to pervert God's word. But he knows the power of this. Even our enemy knows the power of this. Man. So this series, "Let the Church Arise." What does the church have that the world needs? We have the truth, God's holy word. And man, do we ever need it. Now here's the thing. How we present that can make a difference. If we're just angry and blasting out at everything and everybody that disagrees with it, I mean, that's not going to get it done. Let's I'm going to slow down a little bit here, and we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about this Word of God. First of all, first point, Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. That's not a word that we use all the time. Incarnate, embodied in flesh, in human form. He is, in John chapter 1, we see this, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, Logos. He was the Word. He was the divine expression. He was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, so He's involved in creation. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, so He's life. That life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and man, we need that light to shine through the church. But the darkness has not understood it. Now here it is, verse 14. The Word, Logos, capital W, Word, became flesh. Jesus became the incarnate Word of God and made His dwelling among us. Now listen to why. That's a big reason why Jesus came. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, God incarnate, He came full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus came bearing truth. He not only was bearing truth, He was truth. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Secondly, if Jesus is the incarnate Word of God, the Bible, this thing that we probably all have a dozen of in our home, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Progressive Christianity doesn't believe that. Unbelievers don't believe that. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy, a chapter earlier, chapter 3. But as for you, Paul says, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. Hang on just a second. Billy, would you pull that heat down? I'm about to melt up here. Thank you, sir. See, there is a God. Yeah, right. I wouldn't have said that on Wednesday. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now listen to this. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So these Scriptures are God-inspired. I'm going to go and read verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed. I love that translation. Some translations say God-inspired, and that's still accurate. But I love that God-breathed. I mean, you know, like, God breathed life into us, and He breathed His Word into this text. All Scripture is God-breathed, not some Scripture, but all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This should lead us, I want us to be really clear on this, this should lead us to a path of righteousness. Hello? It's not just, hey, do this or God's going to zap you. No, he's trying to teach us how to be holy and how to be righteous and how He feels about us. I love that song we sang, Good, Good Father. He's a good, good Father. That's what He is. And you are loved by Him. That's who you are. Why do we know that? Because it tells us in God's Word and we've experienced that. All Scripture is God-breathed so that the man of God, man slash woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's training us in how to be holy and righteous, to walk it out. And if we disregard this, it's useless. I mean, I've had people tell me over the years, I've had people tell me some strange things, like the Lord's telling me to do this. And I mean, and you go down the list of what they're telling me the Lord's telling them to do, and none of it jives up with this. It's like, If somebody I'm just telling you now, you can save your visit. If you want to come to me and you say, you know, the Lord's telling me that I should leave my wife and marry my secretary. You know what you're going to get from me? Don't do it. Stop. Don't do it. It doesn't line up with God's word. You've made covenant with your wife. Go be a husband. If anything you're thinking, doing, saying, if it doesn't line up with God's word, don't do it. It's more than likely sin. Jesus is the incarnate word of God. The Bible is the inspired word of God. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit illuminates the word of God. Inspires us. The Holy Spirit communicates what God is trying to tell us. Have you ever read a scripture? I've seen it many times where there'll be 10 people in a room and they're doing a Bible study and they're reading a scripture, and one person, man, the Lord just really speaks to them very strongly through that scripture, and the other people are kind of going, okay, well, that's cool, but I didn't get that. What's happening? The Holy Spirit is illuminating the Word of God. I like this phrase. I heard it once, and I don't remember where I heard it. I actually tried to find where this came from, but I like it. The Bible is twice inspired. Let that sink in a second. Twice inspired. Once when it was written, and once again when we read it. The Holy Spirit is active. And that's why I encourage you, if you're ever opening up God's Word and you begin to read, pray that short, quick little prayer. Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me what you want from me. Open up this word to me. This I think you should know this. Our official United Methodist doctrine in regard to the Bible. Here's what the official United Methodist doctrine is, which is, I believe, to be sound. States that the Bible was inspired by God and contains all things necessary for salvation. We read under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When read under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is our true rule and guide for faith and practice. It means read this word. It's inspired by God. Read it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it will guide us in what to believe and how to behave. That's what it's saying. We don't have to believe what the United Methodist doctrine says. Jesus said it this way. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, there it is, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is not going to mislead us. He's not going to mislead us, and especially when we are reading God's Word and we're asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's Word, we will not be misled. I promise you, if you do that, you will not make bad decisions in life. But we gotta read the Word. We gotta ask the Lord to lead us. And here's what, when we mess up, and I put myself on this list, when we mess up, it's when we know this, what this says, like, but I want to go this way. I want to do this. Something contrary to God's word. Or we just don't pay any attention. The biggest mistakes I've made in life, and these could be financial mistakes, mistakes with behavior, anything like that, was when I was either ignoring this or doing something that this says not to do. I'm not a scholar or anything, but I have read a little bit about Voltaire. Is that how you pronounce his name? French philosopher? Some of you smart people tell me. Voltaire? Is that right? 18th century French philosopher. He was a critic of Christianity. Now listen to this. He was attempting to rewrite, even though he wasn't a believer, he saw this as literature. So he takes Psalm 51, which if you're not familiar with Psalm 51, that's probably my favorite psalm because it describes me so much in my life so much. King David, had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he had, I mean, David had the run of the place. I mean, he could have married anybody he wanted to, but he commits adultery with this married woman, gets her pregnant, calls her husband in, tries to get her husband to sleep with her so that it'll cover up the pregnancy and his sin. The husband has too much honor while his comrades are out fighting in the battle. He won't go in and sleep with his wife. So David takes things into his own hands and has her husband sent to the front of the line, and he tells the commander, once he gets to the front line, everybody else withdraw. What's he doing? He's killing the man. He's committing murder. So he has adultery, lying, he commits murder, he's confronted, he repents, and he writes Psalm 51. Voltaire is rewriting Psalm 51 into a poem, so as I guess he thinks he can improve on God's word. So, and he gets to verse 10, and it says in verse 10, "Create, O God, create in me a pure heart." And here's what he wrote. "A sudden terror of hell gripped me." Don't you love that? I mean, can't you just see Voltaire's going, Psalm 51, man, I can improve on that. Let me write a poem because I'm so smart. Watch this. And he gets to that, "And a sudden terror of hell gripped me." It says he tried to shake the feeling but found himself unable to even write. He was so overcome with fear. God's word is alive. It's breathing. It's a double-edged sword. It convicts of sin. And here's some other knowledge. As long as I'm impressing you with my knowledge. Voltaire also said this, quote, "Within 100 years, I wonder if this was before or after he tried to rewrite Psalm 51. Anyway, within 100 years, the Bible will be obsolete and will have gone out of circulation altogether. That was in the 1700s. 100 years later, in the 1800s, the Bible was more popular than ever. Now listen to this. God has got a sense of humor. Voltaire's own house in Paris was converted to a Bible factory. I'm not making this stuff up. Read it. They were churning out Bibles by the hour. I hope Voltaire accepted Christ before he died. There is some debate on end of his life. According to Guinness, over 5 billion Bibles have been sold in 349 different languages. I'd say the Bible's still marching on. God's Word is still marching on. Did you know that the next best-selling book, my son-in-law, Ryan, where you at? Ryan will love this. He's a Harry Potter man. The next best-selling book is Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Sold 120 million copies. That's the best-selling book versus 5 billion, not million, billion. I'd say God is still on the throne. Man, church, this needs to be read and it needs to penetrate our hearts. And we need to share it because the world needs truth. There is so much crazy nonsense flying around out there. You didn't notice it because it wasn't up there long enough, but I showed you the video by Rob Bell, and one of his books is entitled Love Wins, and of course he doesn't have a clue what love even means, but the title of the book is Love Wins. The picture of the Pastor Josh Scott from Grace Point who basically said the Bible is not the inspired word of God. Guess what poster he's got on his wall if you show that picture again. Can you flip back to that picture? Maybe. Well, maybe he'll get it up there. Yeah. Look over his right. It's a big picture that says love wins. Progressive Christianity. By the way, so you didn't know that if you're, unless you're over 6 feet tall, you're not a Christian. Did you know that? I'm telling you, when we place an adjective in front of Christianity, watch out. That's like saying white Christian or black Christian or gay Christian or straight Christian. Man, all of those are wrong. The Bible is the inspired word of God. It's God-breathed, and it has all things necessary for salvation. When read under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is our true rule and guide for faith and practice, what we believe and what we do. The church has it. The world needs it desperately. Let's proclaim it in love. Let's proclaim it in love. If you bow your head with me. Father, I am just so grateful for your word, and I'm thankful that so many actually physically died that we would have that word in our hands. We take it so much for granted, just like with electricity and water and heat. We take those things for granted until we lose them. But Father, we take this word for granted. We've got them in our bookshelves, and we've got them on our phones. Father, it was costly for Jesus, and it was costly for so many people for us to have that word. Thank you for that. May you penetrate our hearts with your God-breathed word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the incarnate word. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you open those pages to us. You illuminate God's word. Teach us, O God. May we be more faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as we have this song. We are going to baptize little Eli Aiken in just a few moments. So I hope you will stay and celebrate with the Aiken family as we do that. Mr. Eli. All right, buddy. I'll get you to come right over there and stand on that one, man. On that far side. One more step. Go ahead and stand up first. Yes, stand up. There we go. All right, so Mom, I guess y'all come on up here, get where you can see good. We've got cameras for everybody else. I guess, is it okay if I share what you texted me? All right, Eli, your mom was watching. During the sermon, Eli drew a picture and wrote, 100 years later, the Bible was the most popular thing ever. I love it. Hey, if Eli can listen to my sermon, Scott, you can listen to my sermon. All right. Yeah, y'all just come. That's okay. Come right on in. There's a camera. They can see. Everybody can see. Okay. So, Eli, we talked about these questions that I would ask you. The first one is, we talked about that word sin, right? That every one of us are all sinners. And first thing God wants us to do is to admit that we're a sinner. So do you admit that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
Amen. And do you want Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized, correct? All right, step right down there. Praise the God. And if you'll sit and hold your nose. Eli, baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there, buddy. Little brother says, he sure did get wet. Yeah. Okay, buddy, remember we also talked about that God wants to come and live inside of you with his Holy Spirit, so I'm going to pray for you, okay? Lord, I thank you for Eli. I thank you for Jesus that loves Eli. I thank you that he loves you back, Jesus, and I pray that you'd fill him from the top of his head to the tip of his toe with you, with your Spirit. We pray, God, that this would be a day we drive a stake in the ground, and from this day forward, everything will be brand new, that he is a new creation. Father, just bless his family. I thank you for Lisa and Brent and Ollie. God, just bless their family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go and proclaim the word. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord
and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to, first of all, congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.